We've got people everywhere. I don't know where half the people are, but that's okay. What was I going to tell y'all? I had something really important. Can't remember what it is now. To what?
Getting old.
I'm getting old. That is true. All right. Tonight we're going to talk about a dangerous prayer that very few people ever pray. And it's a very important one. So let's pray and then we'll get started. Father, I thank you that the prayer that we are going to talk about tonight is a prayer that really should be something we do all the time. And Father, we need to pray that you would guide us, that you would be our guide, our leader, and as we go through each day, that you would help us and help us to trust you to guide us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we can miss if we're not careful is in daily living is that we get so caught up in daily living that we don't live with a purpose. We don't live with any guidance. Today, this morning, I went fishing. And I'm not a fisherman, as you all know. And Sam is my fishing guide. And I would not go fishing if it wasn't for Sam taking me and telling me, you pick up this rod and you throw this lure. I can't tell you the number of times he would say, you throw that lure over by that tree stump sticking out of the water. You'll catch a bass. And a lot of times I do. But the thing is, I know he knows the different areas, kind of like Greg does. They have certain areas that they know. And so they go, and they just don't go on the lake and hope they catch something in the middle of the lake. They have specific places. On Lake Texoma, where I grew up, you could hire a fishing guide, and they would take you to where the fish are supposed to be. And one of the things that I want to challenge you to think about tonight is whether or not you're asking God to guide you. You know, God wants to be your personal guide, just like a fishing guide, hunting guide. God wants to be your personal guide to help you as you try to navigate life, because life is hard. But here's what happens. Most of us, we experience life. You get up today, you do your routine, and if something extra happens, you do it, but basically you just experience one day at a time, and very seldom do you, maybe you do, ask God to be your guide, to guide you through the day. Now, think about it this way. Why in the world would you not want God to be your personal guide in daily living? I can't think of a single reason that would be good about why I would not want God to be my personal guide. Maybe I'd be afraid he'd make me a missionary. Maybe I'd be afraid of something he would cause me to do. But think about this. In your life, what if you would have let God be your guide when you made big purchases? What if you would have let God be your guide when you picked a person to date? What if you would have picked God to be your guide when you go to work? What if you picked God to be your guide at work? You know, a guide is someone that you follow. A guide is someone that you allow to point you in the right direction. And what I find with Christians and myself at times, that if I'm not careful, I just experience life. If you're a parent, sometimes it's trying to survive. Just be quite honest. You know, you just try to survive. If it's in marriage, you're just trying to survive. I mean, the sad thing is God wants to do so much more in your life, in my life, And the only way he's going to do that is if we ask him to be our guide. So let's talk about how do you do that. Well, here's the first thing. And it won't happen if you don't get this one. It begins with humility. If you want God to guide your life, and I can't fathom why you would not want God to be guiding your life. But people might not want what he does. But it begins with humility. The reason we don't ask God and allow God to be the guide in our life is because of pride. We think we know better. You don't ask God who you're going to date or who your friends are going to be or who you're going to marry. And you should. But often we have this idea that we know better than God, and it's called pride. And 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 kind of puts it plainly to us about how important it is to begin with humility. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, it says this, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So think of this way. When you think you know everything, when you think you don't need God, you're proud. And when you have that attitude, you're headed for trouble. So if you're not praying and asking God to guide your life, there's a good chance that the reason is called pride. But look what he says in verse 6. He says, so humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. So here's the picture. Instead of you trying to promote yourself and elevate yourself and chase your dreams, one of the safest things you can do is what Peter says, humble yourself. How do you do that? You know, what does he mean when he says, humble yourself? Well, to humble yourself means you realize you're not God. It means that you realize you need help. You see, if you don't pray a lot except when you're in trouble, that's because you have pride. You don't need God. Only time you need God is when there's an emergency. Humility says, I can't get out of bed in the morning without God's help. And so humility is where it all begins. James said it, humble yourselves before God. And we need to understand that if we do not have humility, we will not ask God to guide us. We will not say, here's my life, do something with it. It begins with humility, and it's essential that we have humility in our lives. So the first thing you have to ask yourself, if you're going to have God guiding you, is, am I humble? Do I realize I can handle life? That's the first step. Now the second step, no one wants to do anymore, and I talk about it all the time, and it's a question, are you seeking wise counsel? If you want to know God's plan for your life, one of the most dangerous things is to think you can figure it out without any input from anybody else. And I started looking at this today, and go to the book of Proverbs, and I just want you to see how important it is to get wise counsel. And the first scripture is Proverbs chapter 12, Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. Look what it says in Proverbs 12, verse 15. It says, fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Fools think their own. How many times have people said, here's what I think, and I'm thinking, maybe not. A fool thinks their way is right, and they don't listen to what other people. As a matter of fact, they won't even ask other people for input because they already know what they want to do with their life. You know, and I can tell you that if you make all the decisions without any wise counsel, you're foolish. And, you know, you say, well, I talk with my wife and my wife. Listen, when you're married, you both know what you want, but it's not always what you need. And Julie and I say this all the time, but it's true. She and I can rationalize that new car. We don't have one, but we could if we wanted to. You could get, you know, it starts with interest free, you know, and we don't have to pay interest on that, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. Next thing we know, we're driving off in a car. Had I just called one friend, if I just called my son and said, what do you think? They'd say, don't do it, don't do it. But, you know, people, you need to get outside input. Why? Because you're foolish not to. That's why so many lives are just tanking. It's because they are making all the decisions. But look at this next proverb that talks about Proverb 15, verse 22. Because it says here in verse 22, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. Plans go wrong for a lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. So, in other words, when you're trying to follow God's will, when you're trying to make decisions and let Him guide you, there are times when you need to get input outside of your own family. And you say, well, it's my family. We can do it. Yeah, it is. And you'll do, and you'll make the same mistake over and over and over again. Look at Proverbs 19, verse 20. Once again, he's talking about the importance of getting outside information. Proverbs 19, 20 says, get all the advice and instruction you can so you will be wise the rest of your life. You can never get enough outside information. But you definitely won't do that if you're not humble, because you know everything. You don't need anybody's outside information. So the question is, do you seek wise counsel? Do you have a few people who are godly people who you can bounce ideas off? And you say, but that's, you know, it's my life, it's my family, I can do what... You're right, you can do whatever you want. And I sure have watched a lot of families pick up a mess. If they just would have asked somebody, they would have said, that's stupid. So ask for wise counsel. Then here's the third thing if you're going to be guided by God. And this is the one that is so important, is Scripture guiding your life. You know, is the Bible the guide of your life? Psalm 119, we're going to be in Psalm 119 because that's a passage that talks about over and over again the importance of God's Word. And, you know, if you're going to be someone who God guides, you're going to have to open the Bible. You're going to have to let it get into your life in a way that you can apply it and live it. But in Psalm 119, verse 97 and verse 98, listen to what the writer, and by the way, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119. Listen to verse 97. David's writing this. He says, oh, how I love your instructions. I think about them all day long. Then look at verse 98. Your commands make me wiser. Wiser than my enemies. And then look what he says. For they are my constant guide. Let me tell you what. As you're going through every single day, you need to have God's Word guiding you. You know, I got up this morning and went fishing. And as I was coming back, and as I got home, I went to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy, because that's where I am in my Bible reading. And I was able to get in it. Why? Because I need new food. I need new ideas for how to live today. You have to have God's Word. And people are making monumental decisions in their lives, and they're not even reading their Bibles. And how in the world can you make wise decisions if God's Word's not in there? It's just so incredibly important. Look at verse 105 of Psalm 119. It says, "Your Word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path." As you're going through life, the world is dark. You need God's Word so you can see. And again, Scripture needs to be guiding your life. And then Psalm 119, verse 133. You have it again. It says, "Guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil." Guide my steps by your word. So here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, if you're going to have God guiding your life, it begins with humility, which means that you say, "I can't do this. I need help. I need God's help." And then it goes from there to seeking wise counsel. If I'm going to be guided, I've got to get with other Christians and say, "Hey, give me your thoughts on this. What do you think?" And get their wise counsel. And then the third thing is, you've got to be in the Bible. You've got to get your instructions from a good source. So, you know, do you read it daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, never? And I'm not talking about y'all. I'm just giving you the picture. If you want to be guided, you've got to get the right information. And that's God's Word. And then the fourth thing is this. Are you trusting God and seeking His will? Look at Proverbs 3. A lot of this wisdom stuff is in Proverbs. One of my favorite Proverbs is Proverbs 3 verses 9. No, excuse me. Proverbs 3 verses 5 and 6. All of you have heard this, but do you live it? Look what he says. First thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first step. The problem is, I go to the second step, and it says, do not depend on your own understanding. Man, we live in the world today. Every day, after I have my prayer time, I go to my news app, and I look at what's going on in the world. And it's terrifying. It's just, it's the most, and that's why I quit watching the news. I do it in the morning just to know what's going on. I want to know who's president. And sometimes I wish I didn't know, but anyway, that's a whole different story. But you know, I go to there, and then I've just quit trying to figure it out. You know, I don't think there's anybody smart enough to figure out how to fix our world. The only one is Jesus. He could do it. But he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But look what he says next. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Talking about being guided. What do you have to do to be guided by God? You've got to trust Him, and you've got to seek His will. You've got to seek His will, and as you do that, the promise of that verse is that He will show you which path to take. And I think a lot of times we trust God, but and I want you to think about this question. Are you seeking God's will? Do you ask Him, "Lord, what do you want me to do? Show me what you want me to do. Guide me, teach me." Because the truth is, if you will seek it, He'll show you. Now, it might not be today, and it might be next week, maybe 2 years. But the thing we do know is that if you seek His will, He's going to show you which path to take. So, trust God and seek His will. And then the fifth thing, and I think this is a reason we don't really ask Him to guide us, is we really don't think God has a good plan for our life. I found this verse today and I loved it. Look at Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 8 and 9. David wrote this, and he says in verse 8, "The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you." I like that. Do you really believe that God has a best way picked out for you, and that if you will seek it, He's going to advise you, He's going to watch over you? Do you really believe that? Or do you think, if I live for Christ, my life is miserable? Now, I find that funny. People think preachers have the worst life. I mean, think about it. You surrender to Him to do the will of God. And it's like you can't have any fun. You know, that's the shorthand that I've heard people. Why would you? And I've had people say, why would you want to do that? And it's funny to me now because I'm thinking, I feel sorry for you because you don't know God's purpose and plan for your life. When you find God's purpose and plan for your life, it's the best thing. And when you don't find His purpose and plan, well, you get what you're getting because you deserve it. And so people are like, you're kidding me. Why would anybody want to go into the full-time ministry? And to be quite honest, because it's good. It's His plan for me. He says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Then look what He says. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and a bridle to keep it under control. He's saying, don't be stupid. Choose God's plan and His purpose for your life. Do you believe that He has the best plan for your life? And then the last one is in Psalm 25. They just all happen to be in Psalm. And I love Psalm 25. If you'll look at verse 1, you see David, and you see him desiring to be guided by God. Look at verse 1. He says, O Lord, I give my life to You. Have you done that? Whose life is here tonight, yours or His? He says, O Lord, I give my life to You. I trust in You, my God. Do not let me be disgraced, or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. No one who trusts in You will ever be disgraced, but disgrace comes to those who try to deceive others. Look at verse 4. Show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Lead me by Your truth and teach me, for You are the God who saves me. All day long I put my hope in You. Remember, O Lord, Your compassion and unfailing love, which You have shown me from long ages past. And then I like verse 7. Do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Do not remember that part of my life. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love, for you are a merciful God. So you see this picture of surrender. Lord, I give you my life. I trust in you, God. Show me the right path. And you know, a question to ask yourself is, are you on the right path? What is it that God wants you doing? And see, when you surrender your life to Him, and you have those questions of, show me the right path, show me what I'm supposed to do, He's going to show you. But if you never ask, if you never humble yourself, it's hard to know. You know, and so if you're in a place of your life where you're directionless, these are the steps you take. It's kind of like I was thinking this morning. It's kind of like when we were trying to figure out whether to come here or not. I mean, what was the process? Well, it was a long process. I do know that. I talked to Daryl 1 week, and then I might talk to another pulpit committee another week. And I mean, it was just, and then Daryl would call back. And I mean, you know, and then I'd start thinking, is he going to call back? I mean, there's a lot of unknowns, and it was uncomfortable because I'm trying to figure it out, and y'all are trying to figure it out. And all I really wanted was God to guide me. And so I used basically the first thing was I humbled myself. I don't know. I mean, Mount Ida, I can't, half the towns in Arkansas are weird sounding. I mean, you know, Toad Suck and, you know, some other, I mean, who wants to go there? Or Pencil Bluff? I mean, you know. And so I'm just saying, Lord, I don't know. I don't even know where Mount Ida is. And I need help. I mean, you know, I don't know. And then I sought wise counsel. You know, I talked to Willard Zeiser. And I remember one of the things Willard told me. Well, y'all know Willard. He was the interim here. And he said, well, there really was only a couple of knuckleheads you need to worry about, but I think they left the church. I never wanted to know who the knuckleheads were. Okay? I never asked. But he said, I think it's ready. I think it's ready is what he told me, basically. I talked to another preacher friend, and he said, don't go there. Don't go there. Don't sell yourself short, because it's in Mount Ida. He didn't know where Mount Ida was. I talked with different men and women and my kids who I respected for wise counsel. And of course I talked with Julie as well. And you know, I didn't make the decision quickly, and I talked to people who knew the church. I talked to friends that knew me. And I sought wise counsel. Third thing I did is every day, listen, every day, read my Bible. And not just read my Bible, looking for anything in there that might say go or not go. And I have all that in journals and trying to say, okay, God, what is it you're saying to me? You know, what is it that's important? And because I did not want to make a decision without God's word in my life. And it astounds me how often Christians make huge life-changing decisions and they're not even reading their Bibles. You talk about scared, you ought to be scared. So scripture. And then we came to the next one, trust in God. There are questions like, will we starve? Which I have not done. Will Julie be able to get a job? And we kind of need her to get a job because I'm old and insurance is so expensive. We don't have a house payment, but we went from a nice house to a much smaller house that we love. You don't hear me complain about it. But it basically came down to this question. I mean, this Proverbs 3:9, trust in the Lord. There came a point where we said, okay, We've talked to other people. We've prayed about it. We've surrendered. We've read the scripture. We feel like this is what we're supposed to do. So here we come, Mount Ida. You're just going to have to work at all that. Julie did not have a job when we came here. We had hopes. And she actually was offered one in Caddo Gap before she was here. And we were trying to dance that around. And it was kind of like she really wanted to be here because this is where we live, you know. But when it came down to it, we just had to trust God and seek His will. It's been the funnest. I've had as much fun coming to Mount Ida as I did going to Dallas to a suburb church. I've had as much fun. And the only reason I can say that, y'all, is because God's guiding. If I was been in charge of that, and I truly believe what Psalm 32 verses 8 and 9 says, that God's plan is the best plan for my life. And it's true. But it all came down basically to okay, Lord, I surrender. And then I come here, hadn't been here hardly any time, and the pandemic happens, which none of my seminary training and life training could have prepared me for that anyway. And so there's a whole lot of show me the right path. Point out the road for me. You know, it's like now, you know, what if this is the rest of our life? Virus. I'm going to get around people and I'm going to go and I'm going to do it. I had all that pandemic I could stand. There's no telling what we'd buy. We bought a dog during that time and there's no telling what else we might buy. You know, it's kind of like, And so it's constantly, okay, Lord, what do we need to do? Show us the way. And it's good. And I've used that basic thing in my marriage, getting married, parenting, everything. Because I do know that I want God to guide my life, my church, my family, my friends, everything. And if I'm guiding it, I'm going to make a mess of it. And so therefore I gladly let Him take control. But see, that's hard. When you go from making all the decisions in your life to saying, okay, God, what do you want to do? It's a game changer. It's hard, but it's good. So, is God guiding your life? I hope so. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that your will is so much better than what I can manufacture on my own. And Lord, I pray for everybody in this room that we would seek to let you guide us, to show us what to do, what not to do, to let you be in total control. And Father, I pray that we would understand that your will and your plan for our life is the best plan. And just help us to hang on to it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.